Before continuing with our extra explanation about how the bodies, human bodies, are reshaped and refashioned, there was one suggestion that we talk about things which would improve us there, what we can do in those second and third lives so that we could improve our situation. Well, the answer is, after you leave this world, there's nothing you can do. It all goes automatically. Not that you don't have free will. As I said last time, our free will is not destroyed and is not taken away from us. But our free will be in the framework of what we have created for ourselves. Just like in this world, we have free will, but our free will is restricted to the possibilities and different things that we have access to. Our free will there as well is restricted to whatever we have actually provided for ourselves, to the expansion of the world that we have created for ourselves. So there's nothing that we can do there. It all goes automatically. This world is the world of action. That's the next and the third and second and third are the world of just reward or punishment of what we have achieved. However, what we can do in this world to somehow improve our situation there, in the course of our discussion, inshallah, we'll touch upon certain things. Today we are going to inshallah, read the ahadith, if we get time, which tells us what not to do, so that we are not we would not face trouble when we are resurrected. And especially, inshallah, when we come to the discussion of Sirat, because Sirat is the most important phase of that day, and that is where we really know ourselves. It's on the Sirat that we really come to an understanding of our soul, and we somehow experience ourselves as we have in the Quran. هُنَالِكَ تَبْلُو كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا أَسْرَفَتْ. It's there where every soul will examine what they have sent forth. It's on the Sirat that this will happen. Inshallah, we'll talk about certain things which would help to pass from that phase quicker rather than being slowed down by our acts. Now, some extra explanation about how human physics is reshaped, how human dust is distinguished from other dust. Because on the day when the earth is pounded, everything is dust. So every dust or all types of dust are actually intermingled, intermixed. Now, we discussed last week that the sprouting of human body, the regrowth of human flesh and bone, maybe from one cell, which would not be destroyed, or it may be from whatever remains of us. Every single cell which belongs to a single human being, they will come together, as we have in this hadith. Look at this. This is very interesting. Now, this hadith is reported by Hisham ibn al-Hakam, which gives an account of a discussion between an atheist and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. A zindiq is the atheist. And the zindiq says, Anna bil-ruh, lil-ruh bil-ba'ath, wal-badan, قَدْ بَلَى وَالْأَعْضَاءُ قَدْ تَفَرَّقَتْ. An atheist asked Imam al-Sadiq, how is the soul resurrected while the body is decayed and the limbs are scattered? Not only the limbs, the cells are scattered. One limb is in one place, eaten by its wild animals, and one in another place, chewed by its insects. Now, of course, he is only seeing this world. He hasn't seen when the earth is pounded. Then no limb will remain at all. And still another is turned into dust and has become part of a wall built by clay. So bringing all these examples, as we have one example in the Quran as well, that's one of the Bedouins, when he came to the Prophet and heard that he is claiming that the dead will be resurrected, he brought the bone of one of his forefathers. I don't know whether he was a Bedouin or one of the inhabitants of Mecca. And he said, this is what is left of my grandfather or grand-grandfather. And you say that this will be resurrected. This will come back to life. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا. This is in Surah Yasin, isn't it? وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. He brought an example for us. Cited an example for us. This was the example. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيَ الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. And he has forgotten his first creation. And he says that, who will bring this back to life when it is turned into dust and into ashes? قُلْ يُحْيِهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Say, the one who created it in the first place can bring it back to life. So this is the same question, actually, which is mentioned by this atheist to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Now Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِنَّ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ وَسَوَّرَهُ عَلَى غَيْرِ مِثَالٍ كَانَ سَبَغَ إِلَيْهِ قَادِرٌ أَنْ يُعِدَهُ كَمَا بَدَأَ. The one who initiated it out of nothing and gave it form without any previous pattern. Now this is very important, because whatever our art produces is just combination of what we have seen already, what we have experienced already. But what Allah has created has no precedence. He has created without any previous pattern. The one who did that is able to bring it back the way he initiated it. Now the atheist said, explain that for me. Then the Imam says that the soul stays in its dwelling. We discussed this, of course. The dwelling is what we call the barzakhi side of the grave, the barzakhi aspect of it. The soul of good doers in a bright and vast place, and the soul of evil doers in a tight and dark place. Sorry, I have to use this. Now, and then the body is turned to dust from which it was created. And what is eaten by the wild animals and the insects and the refuse of their stomachs are all in the dust. Its knowledge is preserved by the one from whom even the weight of an atom in the darkness of the earth is not hidden. So every cell of a human being, wherever it is, the knowledge of it is preserved by Allah. One who knows the number and the weight of all things, this is interesting. Now, the soil of the living creatures, ar-ruhaniyin, anything which has ruh, animals, human beings, no difference. The soil of the living creatures is like gold in the earth. We cannot see it, we cannot differentiate or distinguish. However, those who have a different eye can see the difference between the dust of a human body, or the dust which is the result of the decay of a human body, and other dust. So when the time of resurrection comes, a rain will fall, and the earth will swell, and will be shaken like a water skin. Then the soil of human will come together the way gold is washed from the soil, or the way butter is gathered from the milk. This is very interesting. So, no matter where our cells are scattered, if they still exist, they come together. It's washed like gold and brought together. And if, of course, there's only one cell left, that one cell, which we said last week, would never be destroyed, will be the source of our recreation. In this way, the soil of every person is gathered and by the leave of God is transferred to where the soul dwells. And this is why we are told that we will raise from our graves. Because as we said, the grave has two aspects. One, the barzakhi aspects, in which the soul lives. The other is the worldly aspects, which are connected in a way which is quite difficult for us to understand. And then the soil is gathered to the place where the nafs, the human soul, is there. Thus the forms are restored by the leave of its form giver, Musawwar, to their original shape, and the soul enters it. So when it is complete and alive, they are not unfamiliar with themselves. And that's why when we come back to life, we can recognize each other. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ يَحْشُرُهُمْ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا سَاعَةً مِّنَ النَّهَارِ يَتَعَارَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ They know each other. They recognize each other. And of course, we'll be very happy when we come back to life, inshallah, to see each other. Of course, if you are buried in the same place, people who are buried in the same graveyard are the people who first see each other because they come back from that graveyard. And this one we discussed last week. If nothing is left of the body, then there is one cell. The earth may eat everything from human body, but the end of the spinal cord, like the size of a mustard seed, from which you shall sprout. Anyhow, this was something we missed from last week. Let's go to what we have to discuss this week, inshallah. Waking to the alamun nafs. Waking to the alamun nafs. We have this alamun dunya, and then alamun misal, which is the world of barzakh, and then alamun nafs, which is the day of resurrection, the day of judgment. As I said, that is where every soul can experience, can know itself. هُنَالِكَ تَبْلُو كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا أَسْلَفَتْ It's there where every soul can examine what they have sent forth into their personality, what they have created out of themselves. So this is called Alamun Nafs. As I said, the bodies are formed in graves and are driven out by the earth. Now, whether they sprout like plants or somehow as they are being formed, gradually the soil, the dust gets softer and softer and the bodies come out. We don't know how it happens, but we are told in many traditions that people, when they wake up, they start to shake dust from themselves. Whether they wake up outside their graves or they wake up inside their graves, apparently outside and inside, somewhere in between. This verse in the Quran is very interesting because it says that the earth throws out what is entrusted to it. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ When the earth is spread out and throws out what is in it, which the Mufassirun say that these are the bodies of human beings which are formed, and the earth will throw it out. How, of course, what's the mechanism and the process? We do not know, inshallah, we'll see. But one question. Why should we wake up here instead of waking either in the heaven or the hell? Why should we go there? 50,000 years. Then all those process of Sirat and Mizan and Hisab and Kitab and all these things, why? Doesn't Allah know? Doesn't the angels know? Don't the angels know? So the question is, okay, we accept that we are in this world to be tried. We go to the barzakh to wait until all human beings are dead, and then we all be resurrected together. But why, when the world of Darul Akhirah comes and the heaven and hell are formed, why should we not be resurrected there, either in heaven or hell? Why here? Now, the answer is that you are not yet ready for heaven or hell. This is much more important, the experience you will have here in this Alamun Nafs is much more important than the experience you had in Barzakh, which is of course much more important than the experience you had in this world. When I say important, of course, this world is the most important one because it's the one which creates whatever comes after it. But the experience of life in Barzakh and a life in Alamun Nafs or Day of Judgment is much more rigorous and intensive. And therefore, in this world, you will see things of yourself and of God that you never could have seen in Barzakh. Never. It was not possible. You didn't have the capacity to receive it. So, this is why we wake up here in Alamun Nafs. Okay, the question that I would, now that we have been tried and perfected in the physical world and in the Barzakh, shouldn't we go directly to our final abode? The answer is that going directly there is not possible. Still, there is some way to go. And of course, the most important part of the journey, which of this most important part of the journey is the Sirat, which is somehow the not determining factor, but where we can realize where do we belong to. That is where we can realize where do we belong to on Sirat. To explain this further, between the physical world in which we now live and the final abode, which is the world of names and attributes, that's the paradise. That's where we go. Alamul Asma'i wa Sifat. What you experience there of attributes and names of God is fascinating. Of course, here also we experience names and attributes of God, but it's a very low-level experience. It's mixed with other things, with our evil experience as well. But in paradise, that is pure beauty that we will see. Now, to go to that, we have to go through this world, then to go through Barzakh, then go to Alamun Nafs, which is the Qiyamah. Qiyamah means when people rise for God. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When the people rise for the Lord of the worlds. So, which is the world of names and attributes of God, Alamul Asma'i wa Sifat, there exist two other worlds. Now, the one world was Alamul Mithal or Barzakh, where of course our life is refined a little bit because there we experience everything without being somehow hindered by physical bodies. And it's the next one is Alamul Nafs or Qiyamah. We cannot enter the final abode before passing through these two worlds. Now you may say, well, Allah is able to do everything and He can just take us where we belong to. Yes, of course He can do that, but He has done it anyhow through a process, and this is the process. This is what Allah the wise and the knowledgeable has made as the most perfect way of going to that Alamul Asma'i wa Sifat. You cannot enter Qiyamah before acquiring Mithali, a capacity in Alamul Mithal in Barzakh. There our capacity is enhanced. And you cannot enter Paradise before acquiring the full capacity of your nafs. Now, we don't discuss about hell here because hell is something, is a byproduct of whole this process. We are not created for hell. The whole process is for every human to go to paradise. However, the byproduct of this process is hell. So we are not concerned why people of hell go through this. It doesn't matter. Hell to them, anyhow. Now, the phase of Qiyamah is a phase in which you know your nafs and its wonders. You can only grasp the beauty of God, after knowing the capacity of your nafs. Now, as the mystics say, the nafs is like a mirror which would reflect names, asma and sifat of Allah. Now, the mystics are, of course, very concerned to get this in this world. It's very good. If you purify, you will receive that knowledge. However, that is a knowledge of nafs or the capacity of that mirror according to the restrictions of this world. You cannot go higher. In barzakh, of course, you can go much higher. In this day, you can go much, much higher. And if in this world you have trained your soul to be a mirror, of course, your world there is very beautiful and very easy, because you are already a mirror and you will see those beauties. And if, of course, you have not trained yourself to be a mirror of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will have difficulty there. You may guess that after a fashion, and you may not get it. You remember we said the people of our three kinds? One who directly go to paradise from barzakh and then to in the day of judgment. Of course, they have to go through this, but it's very easy for them. For some, it's about 50,000 years. For them, it's about half an hour. So they go through all this very quickly because they have trained themselves. They are already a mirror. They just have to expand and expand and expand, and Allah will help them with that. But for some, it's very difficult. It becomes, as Amirul Mu'mineen said, for certain people, it is worry and concern and uncertainty until the very end. Until the very end, whether they go to paradise or they do not go to paradise. If they go, well, that's, they are the luckiest. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Even after 50,000 years, and after that all difficulties, anyone who is taken away from fire and made enter paradise there, they have succeeded. That's very good, but of course they get to low levels of paradise. So, and there are some who directly go to hell. Now, you can only grasp the beauty of God after knowing the capacity of your nafs. However, you will know your nafs only the way you have fashioned it. And you make your own mirror here, and how big it should be, how small it is. This is how you make it in this world. Compared to Alamul Mithal, Alamul Mithal, I said, for example, you compare the world that we live in with the world in the womb of our mothers. How big is this and how small is that? Alamul Mithal compared to this is much bigger to this world. And Alamul Nafs compared to Alamul Mithal has no boundaries that we can imagine. That no boundaries that we can imagine. Because Allah is infinite. He has created our nafs to be infinite as well. And therefore, there is no boundaries there that we can imagine. And that's why the whole process of Yawmul Qiyamah is very pleasurable for mu'minun, good mu'minun. Very pleasurable. They go through experiences which they never had before, and until they go to paradise, which is the ultimate pleasure. The realities of that world cannot be reflected in the world of barzakh, save a faint silhouette of that world in barzakh. Even the prophets cannot experience anything but a silhouette of that alamun nafs when they are resurrected, and the expanse of their existence would be multiplied several million times. And this is the world in which meeting with Lord is possible. You remember we said that we would have to meet the Lord. This is the world which makes that meeting possible, because now you have the capacity. And actually, as soon as we are resurrected, it is the beginning of meeting. It is some sort of meeting with the Lord. In fact, we meet our Lord by knowing our nafs. As I said, the nafs is the mirror which reflects. Otherwise, God is everywhere. Where do you want to go to meet Him? It's only inside. It's only here that you can meet the Lord. And you can meet Him here with a very, very limited capacity. But what is the real meeting of the Lord is when you are resurrected. That is where the Lord calls it a meeting. He is reflected in our nafs the way the images are reflected in the mirror. Thus, meeting with the Lord begins with waking up into alamun nafs. The Prophet, peace be on him, is reported to have said, "An-nasu niyamun fa'idha matu intabahu." The people are asleep and they will wake up when they die. Now, when they die, we will wake up relatively, because we go to Alam Barzakh. But still, that is sleep compared to Alamun Nafs. And when we are resurrected, we completely wake up out of our slumber. This is to Barzakh is like a sleep. This world to Barzakh is like a sleep, and Barzakh to Qiyamah is like a sleep. That is why the Barzakh or Alamul Misal is called the minor resurrection. The Al-Qiyamatu Sughra. And that's why we have in Hadith, مَنْ مَاتَ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُ. Whoever dies, their Qiyamah is, will start. This is Qiyamatu Sughra, because this is awakening from the slumber that we have in this world. And then, of course, Alamun Nafs is called the major resurrection, because then we wake up from the slumber of Barzakh. In that major resurrection, you could see your physical, your imaginal. Now, imaginal, of course, is a contrived term. That means the bodies which are created of images in Alamul Mithal. Alamul Mithal means the world of images, isn't it? We have imaginal bodies there in Alamul Mithal. In that major resurrection, you could use your physical, your imaginal, and your nafs faculties simultaneously. This is amazing. You see, here, if we want to use our nafs faculties, we have to completely become ignorant of our bodies. If we want to use our, we cannot use our mithali body. When we go to Barzakh, we can use our mithali body, but we cannot use our physical body. When we are resurrected, you become amazing creatures. Amazing creatures. You use your physical body, you use your mithali body, and use your nafs faculties simultaneously. And that is why it makes the Jannah, the paradise, an experience of pleasure and God hand in hand. Here, pleasure and God would somehow antagonize each other. If you go towards pleasure, you forget God. If you go towards God, you have to forsake pleasures. There, in paradise, pleasures are actually experience of God. The same thing. The same experience. That's why the more pleasures you have, the more experience of God you have. The more experience of God you have, the more pleasure you will have. And in this way, we understand some people who do not know what paradise is or what meeting with God is, they say, we don't want these things, we want God. Well, it's the same thing. You cannot separate it. Paradise, pleasures, God, it's all the same thing. So, in that major resurrection, you could use your physical, your imaginal, your nafs faculties simultaneously. And that's why, if you are good, you are higher than angels, because the angels don't have this physical experience of Allah's creation. They don't have, some of them may don't have the mithali experience. And if they have, they are very restricted. But humans are above all. Why Allah has given all this to us? I don't know. Do we deserve it? No. Do we thank for it? No. We just complain and complain and complain, isn't it? Why? Because we don't know what Allah has given us. We don't know. We are just concerned about some difficulties that we have created for ourselves in this world. Anyhow, the genetics of resurrected bodies. Now, this is very interesting. Are we going to be resurrected the same way as we are now? Of course, we said that your bodies will be cloned in a way, so you will have the same structure, the same face, the same physical qualities that you will have here. However, that's not everything. The genetics of the resurrected body is a combination of every man's physical genetics and their mythali genetics. What is mythali genetics? Now, we said that our bodies will be somehow changed in alamul mithal. If we are good, we go bright. If we are bad, we go dark. Some of us will be disfigured. Some of us will be very beautiful. And one very interesting thing is that, of course, I shouldn't jump to paradise, but in paradise, the more you live, the younger you become. Here, the more you live, the older you become. There, the more you live, the younger you become. Why? Because you use more ni'mah, isn't it? تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَظْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. You see in their faces the freshness of the ni'mah which is given to them. That is why the more you live, the younger you become. Of course, you won't become a child, but your face would look more beautiful and younger the more you live in paradise. The physical body is influenced by the mithali shape, which was under the influence of our acts and our character. So there is a combination, although we are the same sort of persons in terms of our physical body. However, it may have some changes, disfiguration, more beauties added to it. Still, people can recognize each other. Even if you are raised in form of an animal, your face could be recognizable. Of course, you are not going to be raised like that. I'm just giving the example. Now, when resurrected people can still recognize each other. وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا سَاعَةً مِنَ النَّهَارِ يَتَعَارَفُونَ بَهِنَهُمْ. On the day when he will summon them, it will be as if they had merely been hanging around for an hour during daylight, in that whole period between the two trumpets, which is billions of years. It's just like 1 hour for us, because we don't experience anything. They will recognize one another. There are certainly losers who deny the encounter with Allah. You see, this is the world of laqa, of meeting with Allah. However, there are changes to people's face and appearance. Some faces are dark and gloomy. On that day, when they are resurrected, they are dark and gloomy. As is said, وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةَ تَرَى الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ وُجُوهُهُمْ مُسْوَدَّةَ. On the day of resurrection, you will see those who attributed lies to Allah with their faces blackened, as if patches of night have fallen upon their faces. كَأَنَّمَا أُغْشِيَتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ قَطَعًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ مُظْلِمًا. You could see some people with patches of darkness on their faces, as if these patches of night falling on them. Some have lost the light of their eyes and they look like blind people. Of course, physically, sometimes you cannot recognize a blind person from a seeing person. However, in most of the cases, the eyes change, the color of the eyes, the whiteness of the eye, they change. Now, the Quran says, yes, some people will be resurrected and you will see that they are like blind people. In their appearance, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ وَنَحْشُرُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ زُرْقًا. The day the trumpet will be blown, on that day we shall muster the guilty, blurry-eyed, or white-eyed, or something like that, whatever it means. Now, zurq means green. You shouldn't think that every person here has a green eye would be mujrim. No, this is a different type of color. The color of the people who lose their sight, or of the eyes who lose their sight. Some have no flesh on their faces and are like skin and bone. That is very ugly, isn't it? If you have no flesh, just like a skeleton, just like a skull. من قرأ القرآن يأكل به الناس جاء يوم القيامة وجهه عظم لا لحم فيه. This is a tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Whoever recites the Quran to deceive people out of their money, they are a very good man, or people think that they are very good people and they pay them, they give them money for, because they think they are very good, and they do it on that intention, will come on the day of resurrection with a bony face with no flesh on it. This is what you remember this? Swedenborg said, I saw some people in Barzakh whose faces were only bone. Now, of course, some people say, why you bring lots of examples from Swedenborg anyhow? But it corroborates what we have in traditions. Some are so small in their physique that they may be stepped upon by others. إِنَّ الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ يُجْعَلُونَ فِي صُوَرِ الذَّرِّ يَتَوَتَّأُهُمُ النَّاسُ حَتَّى يَفْرُغَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْحِسَابِ. The arrogant will be made like ants stepped upon by people until Allah finishes the accounting. Well, it means they are so small. And this is very humiliating. I mean, on the day when everyone is just like an ordinary human being, then they are so small that they can just go under people's steps. And we say this is punishment, but this is the reflection of their smallness. Because if you try to make yourself big by arrogance, you are so small, you are so ignorable, that this will show itself on that day. And when you see your nafs, you see the reality of it. And that is why some people are resurrected like that. Still you can recognize them, those small creatures, and you may feel pity for them, of course. But they are in that way. Now, let's go in the end to a famous hadith from the Prophet, which gives more details. This hadith, although comes from a Sunni chain of transmission. I don't know if we have a Shi'i chain of transmission for that as well, but it has been mentioned in almost every exegesis of the Quran, whether Sunni or Shia. It's mentioned in Majmu' al-Bayan, in Kashaf, in other books of exegesis, because it explains the verse in Surah Naba, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. The day the trumpet is blown and you will come in groups, in throngs. You don't come as one group. You don't want to come as one people. You come as groups of people. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that, for example, we go as different nations, Muslims, Christians, Jews? Well, that's possible as well, because every nation should be answerable to their prophet, actually, in a sense, and they should be witnessed by their own prophets. However, it may be even more complicated than that. And that's why Mu'adh ibn Jabal, this hadith is reported from Bara' ibn Azib, a very well-known and respected companion of the prophet. He says that كان معاذ بن جبل جالسا قريبا من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. معاذ بن جبل was sitting close to the Prophet في منزل أبي أيوب الأنصاري. So this should be right at the beginning when Prophet migrated to Medina, because at the beginning Prophet didn't have a house, so for a while he lived in the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari until the mosque was built and his room was built beside it. So, and of course Mu'adh ibn Jabal was a very well-known companion in Medina, had heard this ayat in Surah Naba revealed. It was a very good situation and opportunity to ask the Prophet what is the meaning of it. So, he was sitting beside the Prophet, and he said, Ya Rasulallah, أَرَأَيْتَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. And he continued reciting the verses. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا وَفُتَحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. He said, what's the meaning of this? The Prophet said, Ya Mu'adh, سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ مِنَ الْآمْرِ ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَ عَيْنَيْهِ. The Prophet replied, O Mu'adh, you have asked about a terrific thing. And then he started to cry. Of what he, of course, had the knowledge of what will happen on that day. ثُمَّ قَالْ. Then he said, 10 groups of my ummah will be resurrected in dispersed groups. That means they will be separated from others. Although they are from my ummah, but they don't come with the whole ummah. They will be separated. يُحْشَرُ عَشَرَةُ أَصْنَافٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَشْتَاتًا قَدْ مَيَّذَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah has separated them from Muslims. Still they are from my ummah. Will be resurrected in dispersed groups whom Allah has separated from the Muslims and has changed their forms. Ta'atuna afwaja, you come in different groups. So it means with in different forms, in different shapes. Some in the form of monkeys. Still they are in the form of monkeys, but you can recognize them. Their faces are the faces of people who lived in this world. We can see, we can recognize. You can Photoshop that and see how it looks. Some in the form of monkeys and some in the form of swine. And some inverted on their heads, dragged on their faces. بَعْضُهُمْ مُنَكَّسُونَ أَرْجُلُهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقٍ وَوُجُوهُهُمْ مِنْ تَحْتٍ يُسْحَبُونَ عَلَيْهِ. They will be dragged on their faces. Some walk blind, and some deaf and dumb, not understanding anything. Some will chew their tongues with pus running out of their mouth, as saliva regarded filthy by all. Well, this is very terrible. I prefer to come as monkey rather than like this. Some will chew their tongues with pus running out of their mouths as saliva regarded filthy by all. Some come with their hands and feet severed. Some are crucified on chunks of fire. Some come with a stench fouler than carcass. And some wearing cloaks tailored out of qataran. Sarabil, we have in the Quran, sarabiluhum min qataranin. وَيَخْشَى وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ. Their garments are from qataran, which is molten copper, black molten copper pasted on their skins. These are the 10 groups. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. Of course, the hadith may not be accurate, and it may not, of course, have counted all the groups of people. This is about Muslimun, not about others. Now, then the Prophet explains, who are those who come like monkeys, who are those who come like pigs and others. As for those who are in form of monkeys, they are the calumniators who just talk evil about other people. Do calumny. They come in form of monkeys. Those who are in form of swine, they are the consumers of illegal possessions. يَأْكُلُونَ السُّحْتَ. As the Quran actually criticize some Jew scholars, Jew ulama, that they eat suht, money, they take it in the name of religion, and then they eat it. So, those who are in form of swine, they are the consumers of illegal possessions. The inverted ones, those who come on their faces and feet up, the inverted one on their heads are the consumers of usury. The blind are the unjust in judgment. الَّذِينَ الْجَائِرُونَ فِي الْحُكْمِ The deaf and dumb are the conceited. الْمُعْجِبُونَ بِأَعْمَالِهِ Those who chew their tongues are the ulama and the judges whose acts and words differ. SubhanAllah. This is very... I said I prefer to be a monkey, but apparently this is where my kind should go if we are not careful, isn't it? So, those who chew their tongues are the ulama and the judges whose acts and words differ. Those with severed hands and feet are the people who harass their neighbors. The crucified ones on the trunks of fire are those who gossiped on people with the king. This was very common, of course. People went to the king and talked about others and they were got killed and something like that. Those with a stench fouler than carcass are those who seek pleasures and satisfactions without giving what is due in their property. Haqullah fi amwalihim. And those who wear cloaks of fire are the people of pride and haughtiness. Now, I have one question. Sorry, in your slides there is no translation for this. Yes, please. Well, Khoms is one instance of that. Many, many things that we have to pay as haqullah. Right? Khoms, like zakat, like the debts that we have to pay to others, although it's haqunas, it's haqullah as well. Anything that we have obtained illegally, something which, of course, those people who obtain things illegally have a different thing, but still there is haqullah in that. So, the charities that we have to give to people, which are mentioned in the Quran, apart from khums and zakat. Of course, Allah will not certainly put us on the spot for mustahabbat here. It's only wajibat. So what is the right of Allah? For example, yes, khums and zakat is one. The things that we have to provide for others as Allah's command. Like for example, the nafaqa of our dependents, our parents who are dependent on us. All these things are haqullah here. If you do not give, not write, you may not write, but you may give it. Yeah. The relatives who do not have a share of the inheritance. Yeah. You see, we have to differentiate between two things. What is wajib and what is recommended. What is recommended and we do not give, we don't obtain the higher levels and grades. But we will not be punished for it. Otherwise, Allah would have made it wajib. For example, it is mustahab to, just what you said, it is mustahab to give part of the inheritance to the relatives who do not inherit from the third. Okay? This is mustahab. This is recommended. So if you give it, you receive darajat, degrees. If you don't give it, you wouldn't be punished for it. Because that's not fair. It hasn't become wajib on you. And Allah would not punish for something which is not wajib. Yeah, I explained that ulama, the fuqaha, use this tradition as against other traditions which say it is not compulsory, to say that this ma'asiyah means makruh. Is makruh, is reprehensible not to do it. Yeah. Otherwise, of course, it would have become part of fiqh, it would have become part of what is obligatory on us, and you would have found it in Tawzih al-Masail, in Risala, of course. But since it's not there, one very important thing is Allah would not punish for what He has recommended us to do. Yeah. But for doing it, we receive degrees. He would punish for what He has forbidden or what He has made wajib and we abandon and we do not do. You're welcome. Now, one question I want to ask you. Why these acts have such an effect? Now, we may think, okay, this is their punishment, but as I said, this is just reflection of what we do. It's a reflection of what we do. And they affect our mithali body, as we discussed, that certain people, when they die, their acts would influence the mithali body because it's just like an image. It will be influenced very easily. I gave the example. You see the sinners in this world, you can read it in their face. The sin, if they are real evil sinners, the sin will appear on their physical face. And for mu'minun, the light appear on their physical face. This is somehow the effect of mithali body in the physical body in this world. Now when they go to alamul mithal, then the effect is enormous. And since the genetics of the body there is a combination of mithali body and the physical body, then it would deform the body. And these are sort of examples that we will be similar to these things. Not that we really become a monkey or we really become a pig, but we will turn to something similar. These sins will turn us to something similar. Okay, any questions? Yeah, I will send it to you, inshallah, sorry. Because I did translation after I sent the slides, but I will send this inshallah with the next batch. Yeah. Any other question? Yeah. Are you criticizing me or the Prophet or God? Which one? Okay. This, well, some people can see this in faces. Some people can see this in faces. And if they can see it, then it's an effect of the mithali body, which is with us now, on the physical body. As I said, even in this world. Now you can imagine when our bodies are cloned on the day of resurrection and is formed by the mithali body, how different it will become. Yes. Sirat is mentioned in the Quran. there is an allusion to that, but the details are given in hadith, in many, many traditions, both from Sunni and Shi'i sources, which makes it quite an authentic concept in religious literature. Yes. Yeah. No, I said you would not want to last 5 minutes. Otherwise, people may stay there forever. Okay? It's very, very painful. Yeah.
The skin gets burned and you get new skin
all the time? Well, all the time, I don't know how frequently. But the body is, of course, there would be more resistance than here. What the Quran says is that whenever their skins are burns so that it loses its sensitivity, because when the skin burns, it loses the sensitivity. Whenever that is burnt and the sensitivity is removed, because that's a relief. People say, okay, we go to hell, our skins will burn, and we lose the sensitivity. We do not feel anything. And the Quran says, whenever it's so, we will change the skin so that they can layadhuhu azab, so that they can feel, they can taste the punishment. Now, I mean, based on that, you can think of what sort of physics people will have in hell. I mean, whatever happens to them, just like these magical films, for example, or like Terminator, these things, whenever a limb is cut, it comes itself again. Whenever, for example, you have a big injury, your body heals in itself again. And this is probably what would happen in hell. Because in hell, people get injured all the time, get attacked all the time by animals, by other people, and have blood running out of their body and all these things. Their limbs cut and their bodies burn. But still, it will recreate itself as something perpetual. Now, when we come and discuss about hell, it's not all fire. There are many other things, many, many other things. Fire is just one part of it. Yeah. Oh. Alaykum salam.
These punishments or these outcomes look like the absolute...
These are not punishments yet.
Sorry.
This is just the way people are resurrected.
Where does the idea of the balance of good deeds and bad deeds come in? Because... you know, most people are not absolutely evil, or most other people are not absolutely good. So, you know, some people have a mix of good deeds and bad deeds.
Yeah.
So is that where the scale comes in, where your good deeds are higher?
Yes. You see, these may gradually change as people go through the experience of Yawmul Qiyamah. If they are at the end going to be saved, of course they will change. And they will go to paradise with the appearance of a human being. It may change, and it may not. Even people in hell may come out and go to paradise. And because they are all burnt out, I mean, you don't want to see those faces. They are so gloomy, so terrifying, that no one would like to see them. But there is a hadith which says they will be washed in Hawdul Kawthar, and then they will become fresh as other human beings, and then they will be sent to paradise. And then there are these dramatic scenes that when they go to paradise, people say, well, these are the people of hell who have come here, and they say, they ask God, oh God, please make these people forget that we were in hell, so that the shame is not on us. Of course, these are not very accurate things, but they tell us some sort of, they give us some sort of feeling of what that may be. I mean, what sort of life? Yes.
Sheikh, one of the things that answers that going directly there is not possible. So does it mean that we are not still in the caterpillar stage, are we? We are already in butterfly world, aren't we?
We are in much of what, sorry?
We are not in caterpillar stage.
Yes, 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 we are in butterfly stage, yes, yes.
Yeah,
But in that butterfly stage, we have stations to take us to paradise. Yes, of course. And those stations cannot happen in caterpillar stage. Yeah. Almost, yes. I mean, just a little while after we are resurrected, we go on Sirat. Let us reach there, and inshallah, I will keep you a little while on Sirat to see what it is. Yes. Alaykum salam. The good people. Well, you see, these are not punishments. This is the way they are resurrected, okay? And the good people are resurrected in a very good shape, in a very beautiful shape. And then from here they start to move into different phases and stations, and these may change. Of course, good people wouldn't change. They may become better, but they wouldn't become worse. But these people may become better and better. It depends on the extent, the enormity of these qualities in them. I mean, if these qualities are very strong in them, then it will be very difficult to change. If they are not, well, it may go away very easily. Anything else? Okay. Inshallah, see you next week.
The other thing is that there's something that marks it at 8 o'clock.